Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Awesome. You know, prayer is an amazing thing. You can pray yourself into revival. If you start praying, I don't know about you, but for me, I never actually feel like praying. It's not like the feeling of prayer just came over me. I never feel like that, ever. All I do know is I know how powerful it is. So if I just start, and I know the beginning of a message like this, I need to pray because I am just his servant. I'm not like some person who's like, yeah, I got all these great answers. I don't. You might be thinking, well, we're disappointed. I know I need his spirit just as much as you do. And I know if I start praying, God will come. All we need to do is start praying. Tomorrow morning, get up, pray. Oh, how do I do that? I don't know. Just do it. Nobody can really teach you to pray. The best teacher of prayer is prayer. If you just start praying, basically it's talking to God. I mean, you can have a conversation with anyone, right? Just anyone. Just start conversing. Start conversing with what you know about the character of God. Know that he's good. Know that he's great. Know that he's awesome. Start talking to him. Say, Lord, can you help me with this? Can you do that? Lord, I love you. And you start praying, literally, like, you know that feeling that just came on us all a minute ago? That's what will come on you. And then you carry that, like, then you leave your house or wherever you're praying, you take that with you. And people go, what is it? What's different about you? It's God on you. None of us are anything without God. You know, in John 15, it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. One of the greatest revelations you can ever get is the I am nothing revelation. Once you figure out how dependent on God you are, you become more dependent on God. And then you push into him more and more things happen. Today's God's good, isn't he? Hey, why don't we just thank all the fathers and honor them tonight. And so if you're a dad, come on, give him a shout. Come on, give the dads a shout. Woo! Awesome. And let's welcome a great dad in the house. James Murray's back in the house. Awesome, man. Those of you who don't know James was part of this house since he was a kid. Our youth pastor for years, awesome man of God. He and his wife Alana and their one child, Bailey, moved to San Diego 3 years ago. They've come back. They've got three children now, beautiful twin girls. And he was the youth pastor and young adults pastor in C3 San Diego. And now he's back in Sydney, part of the crew and get part of the future for C3 in Sydney. So great days. Welcome, James, back. God, love you, man. Awesome to have you back. You may be seated. Thanks, guys. Brilliant. Who loved the worship tonight? And I'm proud of Linton, my friend. Tough daddy. Tough daddy. Wherever you are, Linton. Where are you? I knew you had it in you. You actually nearly won the box competition, but you knocked that one over in the last second. Not taking anything away from Brad and Glenn. We love you in the name of the Lord. And it's all good. Hey, tonight I'm going to talk about, my message is called Just Father. And just a few thoughts. I mean, even all of us as people, will have varying experiences even with the word father. For some of you, if I just saying that word, it brings a negative association. It's like, because you may not have had a great experience. For others of you, it brings warm feelings and like, oh, that's awesome, what have you. But whatever your experience, tonight I hope that tonight brings a sense of strength and healing, and I hope revelation about God the Father. Because ultimately I'm talking about God the Father. Because he's our ultimate father. He's not just God, he's Father. I believe that God puts in our world various people who are father figures in our life. Some people never knew their father. That maybe they were adopted and never knew their natural father. And some people go on these long searches to find their father because there's a natural yearning in people to find their father. But God, by his grace, I believe, puts the spirit of fathering into the earth so that people eventually will be fathered. Maybe by several people. I know in my life, I had a great dad. And my sister is here tonight who led me to Christ. We had a great dad, didn't we? And he fought in World War II. He was a man of God. He was a prayerful man. He was not perfect, but he was a great man, an awesome man. But other people were father figures in my world. I remember certain coaches at school and teachers. And Pastor Phil has been an immense spiritual father to me. I thank God for him. I wouldn't be where I am today without Pastor Phil as a dad, as a spiritual father, which is awesome. And there are father figures in your world that God gives you as gifts. There are, and irrespective of your own fathering, as in terms of how you were fathered, or maybe even irrespective if you are a father of how well you fathered, here's what I've discovered. And for all of us fall short. As a dad, I did the best job I could, but I know I wasn't perfect. And I fell short of that. And I believe that even my own dad was not perfect, but he did the best job he could. But we are called to honor our parents and honor our dads, irrespective of the job, because there is a promise in that. And if we understand that promise and we honor our dads, and you might think, well, he's passed, he's gone, or he's away, or he's whatever. It doesn't matter. There's a heart response that brings honor, because in that is a promise that says that you will live long and you will live blessed. So that's a good promise, isn't it? So why don't we do that? Just honor our dads. Awesome. We honor our dads. But here's what else I've discovered, that in my fathering, I was not perfect. In my being fathered, that was not perfect. And so here's what I've discovered, is that what I did not receive through generation, I can receive from God through revelation. And that God designs it to be imperfect. That actually God is in the gaps. And it's where what we didn't receive through our own natural generational heritage, whatever it is, however good it was or however bad it was, it still is not enough. And it forces us to look for and yearn for a level of relationship with God the Father, the ultimate dad. And so if you imagine a full tank represents perfect fathering, that even in a great family, it may only be this high. And in a not so great family, it's obviously a lot lower. But irrespective of that, there's still a lot of gaps between what you experience versus what can give you as God the Father. So the things I'm going to talk to you about tonight is actually about the relationship between God the Father and Jesus. In other words, the perfect father-child relationship. Hopefully we can all learn from something about this tonight and go, you know what? Even if I don't get that, I hope three things happen. One is we learn to be better fathers. Two is we learn to be better children and respond to our fathers in a certain way. But thirdly, and probably more importantly, we go to God the Father for some of these things that I'm talking about tonight. And if this pushes you into God and go, you know what? I never got that. And what I don't want you to do is beat your dads up for what you hear about, like, Go to dad tonight and say, you know, God the Father is really cool, and you know, you've created a lot of gaps in my life, and don't do that. Just go and honor them and say, thank you for doing the best you possibly could. You know what? You know, recently Bernie and I have been reading some stories in the newspaper and hearing stuff, and you know, you hear this stuff. I heard a report on the news the other day where two 15-year-olds beat up an 86-year-old man. And broke his jaw and smashed him. This is in Sydney. Beat him. And then as they were smashing to the ground, ran off and said, you deserve it. I'm like, okay, compare that to Jesus. There's no difference in the person. What's the difference? The difference is how they're raised. We have to understand that the power of fathering is huge. And unfortunately, what happens is that generational things begin to happen where these negative cycles begin to take place. We need to break those negative cycles. And the way those negative cycles are broken is that someone comes to Christ, gets a revelation of God the Father, and brings a brand new way and spirit into the... That'll change society. Society isn't changed by some spooky thing. Power and change is happening. No, it's changed lives, changed people. Changed lives, changed society. And so this is why we need to talk about this stuff. How are we doing so far, all right? So I got 20 minutes to cover six major points. But let me say this, that what I'm going to talk about is that God the Father raised Jesus. That's the rev I got recently. God the Father raised Jesus. He didn't do it alone. Jesus didn't arrive as a little baby and go, yeah, like, you know, as a Messiah, a little six-month-old Messiah, and here I am, and just raise himself because he had God on the inside. No, he was like just like any other kid who had, by the way, a great calling. He was human. Do you realize he was tempted in every way that we are tempted? It's not like he was devoid of temptation. He had the same temptation. Well, what made the difference? God the Father. He was so filled with the Spirit of the Father that he lived differently. And that's what our example is. So he went from being a baby to a Messiah who carried the weight of the sins of the world upon him. How much character and life and human wherewithal does it take to live and carry the weight of sin of the world on you when you didn't deserve it? That is someone to be proud of, right? That's Jesus Christ. I think the Lord deserves a hand just for that. Awesome. All right, here we go. What I'm going to give you is six stages of parenting, six stages of fathering that God the Father took Jesus on. And each one, I believe these are accumulative. One builds upon the foundation of the other. The first one is birthing, obviously. You might think, well, obviously kids are birthed. But no, there's something that happens around the birthing stage that is powerful. Do you realize that every human life that enters the world is significant and important? It shocks me when I see and kids born and there's no sense of life or celebration or joy about a life entering the world. Every one of them is God chosen. Every one of you has been in the mind of God since before the beginning of time. How awesome is that? So when one enters the world, when a life enters the world, there should be around that world a celebration of life. And the fathers bring a sense of that. They bring protection. You know, Jesus, God the Father looked after Jesus by guiding Joseph out of dangerous situations, sent angels. So Joseph was like, okay, avoid this, avoid that, go over here, so that the child will be born and protected in a safe environment. He provided for him, sent wise men, not just three. The Bible does not say it's three. Possibly, who knows how many, 10, 20, 50, could be 100. I don't know how many there were, arrived with gold and frankincense and gifts that provided for his future. Around the birthing thing, there's a sense of a dad that brings a sense of provision. There's a prophecy that all through the early parts of the Gospels, there was these prophecies, and all through the Bible, by the way, prophecies about Jesus, but even around to Mary herself. You're going to have a child. It's going to be named Jesus. He's going to be the Savior of the world. What a cool prophecy to get, you know. And I believe that dads prophesy over their kids. This is going to be a great kid. They're going to be blessed. There's something powerful, like Reuben was saying. There's a heritage that fathers leave, and it begins in the birthing process. There's a sense of life and celebration around that. How awesome is that? And dads are like that, like proud. They pull out the cigars and the drink. Not like smoke cigars or even handing one out, but the movies portray that. You know, like yes, my son, my daughter has entered the world. It's so awesome. Birthing. Number two is the next one. Bond and is belonging. Belonging. Dads, fathers bring a sense of belonging. They create place. Everybody say place. One of the great tragedies of life is homelessness. What is homelessness? Sure, it's tough. It's cold. You're hungry. But that's not the biggest issue. The biggest issue is displacement. That is, people don't feel like they've got a place in life anymore. Whereas dads, fathers bring a sense of place. You belong. Jesus said, this is my Father's house. He, at the age of 12, already had a revelation that he belonged in his Father's house. What a great thing. And kids need to feel that sense of, like, I got a place, a warm place, a welcome place. When the kids walk in the door, it's the dads like, hey, I want to. Every time they walk in, a sense of belonging and a sense of you have a place here. Because if people don't feel like they've got a place, they will run to a place where they feel accepted. There's a whole issue, there's a whole conversation and message about why people end up in certain lifestyles. Usually it's to find acceptance and to find place and to find community. But that's what the home should be doing so that they don't have to run. And that's what dads provide. Third thing is a sense of bonding. Dads provide a bond with their kids. There's a connection. And here we have the story of Jesus when he got baptized. I love this story in Luke. It says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. I just think that's a great thought too. Is that whatever move of God is happening, be part of it. Even Jesus joined the current revival. He didn't think he was bigger than it. He was part of it as well. As he was praying, heaven was open. That's pretty cool. Then it goes on, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. A voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. How cool is that? Like heaven opened up. God's massive megaphone from heaven. Hey, Jesus, I really love you. You're my son. He needed to hear a sense of bonding, an identity that came from the Father. You know what God the Father used? His voice. The power of voice is huge. Dads, speak to your kids. Dads, don't withhold your voice. Let your voice be one of, I love you. You're my son. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. God the Father was not ashamed of Jesus. You know what? Jesus hadn't done a thing. Hadn't performed one miracle. Hadn't died for one sin. Hadn't done anything. How awesome is that? So the bonding happens, watch this, pre-achievement. The best bonding takes place before achievement. And if dads are withholding their bonding and love and acceptance and attention and approval until the child achieves, it's not as powerful. Give them approval, watch this, so they will achieve. Because approval precedes achievement. So I believe we need to be telling our kids all the time, you're awesome, you're amazing, God's with you, God's for you, it's on your side. Some of you are sitting here right now thinking, I never got that. I never got that. You know what? All of us, to some extent, missed a piece of that. But guess who you can get it from? God the Father. He approves of you right now. His spirit of approval is right here now to receive. How awesome is that? Beyond bonding is believing. And another great story, which is the story of Mount Transfiguration, also in Luke. It says, 6 days later, three of them saw that glory. Because what happened behind this? Jesus took the guys, Peter, James, and John. There were 12 apostles, but he took the three on certain adventures. And this is one of the adventures he took them on, up on a mountain. They had no idea what was going to happen at the top of the mountain. This is what happened. Jesus took Peter and the brothers, James and John, and led them up on a high mountain. His appearance changed from the inside out right before their eyes. Sunlight poured from his face. His clothes were filled with light. What they saw was the glorified Christ, which is pretty awesome. Then it says, then they realized that Moses and Elijah were also there in deep conversation with him. This cracks me up. Peter broke in. Master, this is a great moment. What would you think if I built three memorials here on the mountain? One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was going on like this, babbling, a light, radiant cloud enveloped them, and sounding from deep in the cloud, a voice, this is my son, marked by my love, focus of my delight, listen to him. So we've gone from God the Father going, speaking his voice to his son, now he's saying to everyone else, listen to him. Because ultimately, it's when we're raising people, it's got to go from not just our voice speaking, but us saying to others, this person's got a voice. Listen to him. I remember early days of my son, Josh, preaching, and the first couple of times, and of course, I was the one that was preaching and then talking to him about stuff at home and our relationship, all that sort of stuff. And suddenly he's up on the stage speaking. I remember the first couple of times, and I'm sitting in the front row there listening to him going, this is good. I received something from him. In other words, he had a voice. Because here's the deal. When we hear the Father's voice of approval, we begin to express our voice of achievement. And so every one of us, every single one of you have a voice. There's a piece of the earth that needs to be helped by your voice, by a talent, by a gift, by a calling, by a profession, by there's something that you've got on the inside of you that this world needs. There's a piece, watch this, of the image of God that is in you that the world needs. And all as it needs is someone to pull it out, to encourage you enough to go, I believe in you. That's all it is. They don't have to create it in you. You don't have to find it. It's not like, I'm not talented. I've got no talent. I'm just a big, you know, moron here. You know, some sort of, no. You have got things within you that God put before the beginning of time. And if I say nothing else to you tonight, let me just say this. I believe in you. God believes in you. And you've got something. The world needs to hear your voice. But you need to do it from a place of approval and of confidence and of peace. Not to achieve it. Never do anything to achieve approval. Because you're already on the wrong platform. Get on the platform. I am approved. I am accepted. I am beloved. And then over there, achievement. It's over here. But that comes first. That's pretty good, isn't it? My long jump days are coming back. Long jump, short legs. So believing in. I love the fact that the guys, Peter, James, and John, saw Jesus speaking with Moses and Elijah. How they figured that was Moses and Elijah, I'm not sure. Sure, Moses looked like Charlton Heston, and there's this whole thing going on. But isn't it interesting that God the Father was not in the conversation? It was Jesus. Jesus was in a conversation. It says deep conversation with Moses and Elijah. See, the sense of believing in someone happens when you get accepted into meetings, accepted into conversations, accepted at a level of life that suddenly you get in exposed to and invited into. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So God the Father's going, go on, guys. Jesus, Moses, Elijah, get into it. What are you talking about? Maybe God the Father's going, they're talking about me. I'm not sure what's going on. But they were in a conversation. Peter, James, and John were over here going, you know, babbling on and freaked out by the situation because they couldn't handle it. But Jesus could. The revealed glory of Christ could handle that. He was believed in. Okay, number five is burden. And there's once again a great story of Jesus. It's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it goes like this. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, make this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall in temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed. My Father, I love this. The language shifts. If it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. How awesome. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. And then he returned to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour's come. The Son of Man is delivered in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Jesus went from a place of absolute agonizing torment, receiving on him the burden of the responsibility that the Father was giving him. Within an hour or so, prayed through, because of his connection with the Father, prayed through to a place where he said, not my will, yours be done. Let's rise and take it. He took up. He's like he stood up within that burden and took it on. Because this one of the ultimate levels of fathering is being able to lay the burden of responsibility on the next generation in such a way that they're ready for it and can rise up under it and begin to achieve great things. And it was the Father's blessing that said, no, you can do that. I have prepared you for this. You're able to handle this. And you notice in the prayers, it's silent. Father's silent. Now, he would have taken it off Jesus if he'd asked him to. If he really, really, if Jesus really didn't want to go through that, who's glad that Jesus did go through that process? But at the end of the day, the Father goes, no, you can handle this. And Jesus, by the end of the prayer, because of his connection with the Father, said, you know what? I've got strength in me now. And he went from heavy prayer. In fact, one version of the scripture says it was like he was sweating like drops of blood. That's pretty crazy to the end of the thing going, come on, guys, let's go. We've got a job to do. That's a powerful relationship with dad. That's awesome. What burdens are you carrying? Can you carry them? What things do for you feel like they're too heavy? God the Father can give you strength beyond your natural ability to comprehend it. There is strength out there for you to bear up under things, whether it be a business situation, the wisdom you need for something, the load of a family, the load of whatever's going on in your life. Guess who's got the power to do that? God the Father has that access to you. That's great news, isn't it? And the last thing is broken. Broken. The ultimate test of fathering is the test of trust. And a brokenness between a father and a child will happen eventually. Almost a broken leg. It will happen eventually. At some level, whether it be even like marriage is that. When a child is given to another person to marry, there's a brokenness. There's I am no longer responsible for this person. It can happen in death, it can happen in travel, it can happen all sorts of things. But the ultimate test of a fathering relationship is when that person, that child, has to do life alone. And here is Jesus on the cross for the first time doing life alone. And we see the scripture where Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt the distance and the break of intimacy between him and God, probably for the first time. But it's awesome. After that, then God went through the process and then prayed out, but into your spirit I commit, into your hands I commit my spirit. How awesome. So Jesus recognized and was at a place where he was able to step back from that and break through into the other side of that relationship and be that and handle that alone. And he carried on his own the burdens of the sins of the world. Now, none of us have going to ever carry that responsibility. But I'm telling you, every one of us have got places in our future that God wants you to carry. And whether your father, your spiritual father, your leaders, whatever are around you, the fact is you're going to carry that with integrity, you're going to carry that with humility, you're going to carry that, and you're going to carry to the next generation a level of impact, fathering, and spiritual life that you have got on the inside of you. I was pretty excited about that. So tonight, you may have felt like, well, you know, I feel like I missed four of the six. I don't feel I have anybody who believed in me. I don't feel like I had a dad who bonded with me. And maybe you did, maybe you didn't. It amazes me how fractured families are in our society. But I do know this, as we keep applying what we know to be right, what we know to be true, and we keep applying life and grace and love and wisdom into our families, then we'll get better and better at this. Who would like to get better at this sort of stuff I'm talking about? But even above that is I believe you have access to the Father. I remember years ago, you know, in the early stages of it, as a young dad, feeling quite overwhelmed to know how to do this thing called fathering. And I remember crying out to God because, you know, you have kids and I remember having a first one, Josh, and bringing him home from the hospital. And to be a father, as in I have a child, is probably the easy bit. To figure out how to do it and how to be what you know you need to be to that child is a whole nother story. I remember feeling the first 6 months a little bit overwhelmed. And I've told this story many times before. There's a driving home one day from church and I got out. Bernie got Josh out of the car. And I stayed in the car probably for about an hour. Just cars are great for waiting on God. It's like the cone of silence, you know. It's like there are moments of, it's a private space, particularly as a young dad or young mom, you don't get a lot of space. So the car was awesome. So I was waiting in the car and just opened the scriptures. And I opened it to that one of those first verses I read, which is the baptism of Jesus. And I read that verse, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Those words hit me like a truck. And I realized that God, the Father, was not just saying it to Jesus. He was actually saying it to me. And that I could have that same relationship with God. And that I was like, he was saying to me, I'm pleased with you. And that you're my son. That one encounter with God the Father changed my life forever. Set me up as a dad. set me up as a man who was going, who as the years would progress, more responsibility, more weight would come upon me. But that one revelation of God shifted my life. God can give you access to that or whatever you need tonight to set you up to be the most whole version of you on the earth.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.